The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Maybe before I get into the message, I'll share a little bit of my frailty and humanness. Maybe that'll give a little bit of the backdrop to the message here. So Wednesday morning, Brother Amos called me and said he can't find anyone to have the message today and wondered if I'd be willing to share. I was on for, I think, the last Sunday of the month. And I had a lot of things scheduled for the week. We're on a hog farm. We were weaning pigs that Wednesday there. And had hay to make, and we had a family day planned Saturday, and I couldn't see how I could study yet for a message. Normally it takes me 8 hours or so to study for a message, and but this thought came to my mind: the Lord is my shepherd. And I said, Lord, I don't like to say no when you call, and we'll share. And so this is what was impressed on my heart, and I hope it's a blessing for all of us. Before we get started, Papa, would you come pray for me and pray for us as a congregation, please? Come up here. I appreciate my dad. Learned a lot from him. And I'd feel honored if you'd pray for me.
When you said you had to preach, the 23rd Psalm came to my mind. Mm. So that which agrees together is established. So mm-hmm. The word is established before us today.
Amen.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name as we're here together in one faith, one baptism, one spirit. We come to worship our God, the God of creation, God of all things. And here we're being created for your own good pleasure and purpose. Yes, to be one in Christ, John 17, to abide in Christ in John 15. Together we stand in the promise of God. As we're united together here in prayer, as we're united in the spirit of Christ, we worship the true God. We will be filled as we drink. It says, come to me, all we that are laboring and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Mm-hmm. Now, taking the yoke upon us, upon my son, as he shared, take that yoke upon thee, for he give thee rest. Mm-hmm. So we know that Christ is our shepherd. He provides our need. He sees our need beforehand, even before we pray, before we even have responsibility, even before we ask. The message of your love and mercy and grace is being poured out. Thank you, Lord, for this day and the day of the Lord. We love you. We love you not only in word, but indeed in truth. And again, with thanksgiving, we praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. The story was told of a... I heard the story told of a respected orator being asked to recite the 23rd Psalm to a crowd of people. He did so with flourish and style. The people cheered and he sat down. An older gentleman stood up and with simplicity but yet conviction and authority quoted Psalms 23. This time the people stood to their feet and cheered because they were moved in their spirit and soul. The question was asked, why the two different responses? The answer given was, the first man knew the psalm, but the second knew the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's stand, and I'm going to read the 23rd Psalm. I'm using the ESV, so it might be a little bit different than what the King James is. But... let's think of these words. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You may be seated. So I was planning to have an expository message on the whole psalm, but I didn't get that far. In fact, just verse 1. And this may be a shorter message, but let us meditate on the Lord as our shepherd. So the psalmist here is David, and David was a shepherd. David cared for sheep, and he knew his sheep, and the sheep knew him, knew how to follow him, and maybe he had different signs, signals, commands that the sheep knew and followed. I want to look at some more things that David had to say about the Lord, to explore a little bit more. Who is this Lord? The Lord is my shepherd. So there's so much that David said, but we're just going to look at a few passages. Let's look at Psalms 24, just the next psalm, verses 1 and 2. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. So here, the earth is the Lord's. We know God as the creator. So the Lord is the creator. So that helps us to understand a little bit more. Who is this Lord that is our shepherd? He is the creator. Then we'll look down a little bit further to verse 8. Who is this King of glory? Now he's called King of glory. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. So the Lord of hosts, or the general of the army, the King of glory. So another broadening the definition. Who is this Lord? Who is this shepherd? He is also the King of glory, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Okay. And chapter 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord, my light and my salvation. We like light. You need light in order to see where you're going, or to see to read, or whatever. The Lord is my light. So he shines on the path, and we can see because of the Lord. And how is he our light? He reveals himself to us through the scripture, through the preaching of the word, through song, through meditation. The Lord is our light, is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Because the Lord is my light and salvation, I shall not fear. All right, so that's another definition or description of who the shepherd is, the Lord. Now I'd like to look at chapter 28. Again, these are all from David, as far as we know. Not only did he say that the Lord is his shepherd, and he was the sheep, but he got to know the Lord. He got to know the shepherd. And so many of these psalms are describing the Lord and describing his own need, his own failures maybe, and asking the Lord to help him. So 28, starting in verse 6. Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exalts, and with my song I give thanks to him. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. The Lord is the strength of his people. So children love to, small children especially, love to think of their dads as strong and as their strength. We enjoy doing some gardening, and so I'm out there using my hoe or a shovel or something, and the little one beside me has their little hoe or shovel, and it just doesn't work as good. You know, the ground doesn't move quite like it does when I move the hoe or shovel. So they want to use my hoe, you know, they want to use daddy's hoe, so I give it to them. And it still doesn't work. They don't have the strength. You know, they're not strong. And so that's just a thought of strength. You know, compared to a small child. So that's a thought of strength. But then also, if we go to a strange place or a different place than what they're used to, they love to put their hands into my hand. You know, and to receive that confidence, that strength, that. They're not scared anymore, you know, because I'm right there with them. So that's another picture of strength and how the Lord is the strength of his people, the saving refuge of his anointed. Another picture of the Lord. So we had shepherd, creator, king of glory, light and salvation, strength and shield. Now we're going to look at 29, Psalms 29, and we're going to read the whole psalm here. Psalms 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. So notice the voice of God being all-powerful. In this psalm. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Sharon like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, all cry glory. Basically saying there that at the voice of the Lord, at the command of the Lord, the hurricane comes, the tornado. He shakes the wilderness. I watched a few short video clips of a tornado coming and then just tearing through a house or chicken barns or whatever. And it just like, yeah, woof, it's gone, you know. So something that we think is pretty stable, pretty sturdy, pretty, you know, we can trust in. The breath of the Lord, it's just, whew, gone. Yeah, for His glory, we don't always know, you know, why these things happen. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth. The Lord sits in, chapter 29, 10. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to His people. May the Lord bless His people with peace. This awesome God that with His breath can destroy or create. You know, also the breath of the Lord was breathed into man and he became a living soul. May that Lord bless His people with peace. All right, so we had the shepherd, the creator, the king of glory, light and salvation, strength and shield, and all-powerful voice. So that's a little bit of a description. Of course, there's so much more we could go into. But thinking about the Lord as our shepherd, I shall not want. Because this Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. My needs are met. Let's look at Psalms 34, 7, 34, 7. Should almost start at the beginning there, you know. I will bless the Lord at all times, and so on. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Now, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for those who fear Him have no lack. Those who fear Him have no lack. I shall not want. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, His ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, so we do have troubles. We do, you know, sometimes we say, I shall not want. What is that, you know, is that literally? Well, we do have wants, we do have needs, we do have afflictions. We know of many people in the world starving or, you know, wars and famines and all these things that maybe our little minds can't really comprehend, you know, why we have it so good and they don't. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And then this is, I believe, the next verse is a prophecy of the Messiah. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. the Lord, this great God, redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. That beautiful word, redeems. That'll come up again later. So, this shepherd, this awesome God, and I'll just put a plug in here. Let's be careful how we use the word awesome. It only fits God. This awesome God. The Lord, this Lord, this mighty God, this shepherd, the good shepherd, knows his sheep. So not only does, it's a two-way relationship. So I have some animals, some beef cows and some hogs and dogs. And I'm beginning to, we just started farming back in August, took over the hog farm. And, but I'm beginning to recognize when you look at them, you might think they're all the same, you know, they all look about the same. Some are bigger, some are smaller, some are big, wide, some are skinnier. But other than that, they're all the same. Well, not so. They all have their own personality, and you start recognizing, oh, this is the greedy one, you know, or, this one is really friendly. You come into the pen, it'll come up and kind of rub against you, and it's friendly. It wants to be petted and scratched. They love being scratched behind their ears. You know, I am beginning to recognize my 300 sows, you know, and I don't know near all of them, all their traits yet, but I'm beginning to see, oh yeah, I know that one, I know that one, I know the other one. My beef cows, 18 cows, I'm beginning to know which ones will come up, you know, and want to be petted or be, you know, be close to me. Which ones you come closer and they stand up and look and they're, you know, they're like, back off, you know. They all have their personalities. And so do we. We have our personalities. And a good shepherd, a good herdsman, I don't claim to be a good herdsman yet, I'm learning, know their animals and helps to meet their needs, whatever needs they have. Well, another name for our Lord is the Good Shepherd. In Matthew and John, different places it says, the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd knows his sheep. He understands our limitations, our personalities, our humanity, our fears, our doubts. He understands. We as humans, we see the shell, we see the outside, you know, and as we get to know each other, we understand a little bit more what makes them tick or what's their specialties or maybe their weaknesses, their strengths. Our shepherd knows everything and cares for his sheep. That's a comfort to me that this shepherd, this awesome God, cares for me and for my 2-year-old. He wants this great shepherd, this good shepherd, he wants to rescue, redeem, restore, and rejuvenate. That's what he came to this earth for. One of his main things is to bring glory to his Father. And part of that is rescuing us, redeeming, restoring, and rejuvenating. Relationships are his specialty. Body, soul, and spirit. I'd like to look at Psalms 95. So relationships, we all have relationships with everything. I mean, you know, so we think of our finances. There's a relationship. Let's see, how do I define that? My thoughts. There's so many different facets of our lives. And God wants to redeem and restore, rejuvenate all these facets to make us perfect, to make us whole, to make us productive in His kingdom. So that's why I said relationships are His specialty, body, soul, and spirit. Psalms 95. So notice that the first part of the psalm, I'm going to read the whole psalm. The first part of the psalm is talking, you know, how great the Lord is, etc. And then he says the last part, that some hardened their hearts. And he's saying, don't do that. Don't harden your hearts. Some will not repent and rather reject the good shepherd. Psalms 95. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are also his. The sea is his, for he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the sheep, we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. Therefore, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. This great God that wants to redeem and restore, because he was rejected, swore in his wrath. God is the only one who is allowed to be wrathful and to swear in his wrath. They shall not enter my rest. So I want to focus on that a bit. Let's look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah 6. Verse 8. Be warned, O Jerusalem, lest I turn from you in disgust, lest I make you a desolation, an uninhabited land. Thus says the Lord of hosts. So God is the Lord of hosts, the general of the army, the captain of the host. And when that Lord is for us, when we're on his side, that's a comforting thing. When he is against us, that's not so comforting. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they shall glean thoroughly as a vine, the remnant of Israel. Like a grape gatherer, pass your hand again over its branches. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ears are uncircumcised. They cannot listen. Behold, the word of the Lord is to them an object of scorn. They take no pleasure in it. Therefore, I am full of the wrath of the Lord. I am weary of holding it in. pour it out upon the children in the street. This just gripped me when I read it. Pour it out upon the children in the street and upon the gatherings of young men also. Both husband and wife shall be taken, the elderly and the very aged. Their houses shall be turned over to others, their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand against the inhabitants of the land, declares the Lord. From the least to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for unjust gain. And from prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time that I punish them, they shall be overthrown, says the Lord. And this is his pleading. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. What a tragedy. Stand by the roads, look and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and find rest for your souls. But they would not. I hope that's not any of us. Now let's look at Hebrews. We can sometimes think, ah, those stiff-necked Israelites, what were they? Why were they so stiff-necked or so? Well, they're made of the same stuff that we are, and sometimes we can be pretty stubborn also. Hebrews 3, verse 7. Hebrews 3, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, and this is my plea to all of us, I don't know where you are. Are you resisting the Lord, or are you humbling yourself? And is the Lord your shepherd, and you're receiving grace and strength from him? Or are you not, and God is resisting you, and his wrath is toward you? Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end, as it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them. The good news of salvation. Good news came to us just as to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. You need faith. For we who have believed enter that rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage, he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, some will enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience. Again, he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David, so long afterward, in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. I'll keep reading. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. We will give an account. And now let's look at Revelations. Revelations chapter 19. Starting in verse 1. After this, I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven crying out, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for his judgments are true and just, for he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality and has avenged on her the blood of his servants. Once more they cried out, Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who was seated on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And from the throne came a voice saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, ye you who fear him, small and great. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And then verse 11. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, the one sitting on it called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God, the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now I want to go to chapter 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who is seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away. No place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Chapter 21, just keep on going here, down to verse 8. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." Doesn't that sound like a shepherd, like a good shepherd? "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away." Hallelujah. And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for those words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." And down to verse 22. "And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day. There will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." Chapter 22, verse 12 and following. "Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify to you about these things. For the churches, I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him who hears say, 'Come.' And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Is your heart saying, come, Lord Jesus, my shepherd, my king, my, what are some of the other things here? The creator, the king of glory, my light and salvation, my strength and shield, your all-powerful voice. Are we on the positive side of this great God or on the negative side? Where are we? Are you being led by the shepherd? Or is one day the shepherd going to be your judge and judge between the good, the sheep, and the goats? That's where I want to leave us. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen.